Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. I was in Starbucks in Miami Beach recently. The store was hot and stuffy and sweltering, and one of the baristas complained about it, so his co-workers propped open the doors to let the fresh and brisk ocean breeze flow into the store. And when he felt that first breeze coming through the door, he said, "Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah." So I asked him, "Do you know who Jesus is?" And he said, "Yes, he's my Savior." I got pretty choked up. It was one of those moments in life where you're always happy to know that there are people everywhere in the world, people from all walks of life, people who you might least expect, who know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and He is our God. Welcome to the Lord's Supper celebration. And the title of the celebration today is "The Cross Offers Christianity to Creatures." And so today, as we do every month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is a meal of remembrance. We eat by breaking bread. We drink by tasting the fruit of the vine. We look back to the cross, one of the most significant occurrences in divine history. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." At the Lord's Supper celebration, as a gathering of Christ's believers, we remember his death on the cross, which paid the price for Adam's sin, the sin that is credited to the account of all mankind at physical birth, the sin resulting in spiritual death for all of us. At this celebration, we remember the shedding of the Lord's blood to cleanse us from this unrighteousness. Unrighteousness caused by one man's sin of independence, imputed to each one of us. We remember with gladness that the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead 3 days later, after his crucifixion, to prove that he is indeed deity, just as he said he was, and also to give us hope. Now, we believers in Christ know, through the Lord's infallible word and through our faith in it, that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated victorious at the right hand of his Father's throne, waiting for the moment when God the Father will make the Lord's enemies a footstool for his feet. His sacrifice made a thing called Christianity possible, and we celebrate this fact today and every month. Well, December 7th came and went this past week. On December 7th, 1941, the United States military base at Pearl Harbor near Oahu, Hawaii, was attacked. And I'd like to remind you of the speech that was given by then President Franklin Delano Roosevelt the day after the attack as a declaration of war. Do you have the speech? Oh. Well, then, heck, I'll just read it. How's that? So here is the, I thought we were going to have an audio version of it, but we don't. So here is the speech. "Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate and the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Indeed, 1 hour after Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador of the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. And while this reply stated that it seemed useless to continue the existing diplomatic negotiations, it contained no threat or hint of war or of armed attack. It will be recorded that the distance of Hawaii from Japan makes it obvious that the attack was deliberately planned many days or even weeks ago. During the intervening time, the Japanese government has deliberately sought to deceive the United States by false statements and expressions of hope for continued peace. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. And I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. Yesterday, the Japanese government also launched an attack against Malaya. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Hong Kong. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Guam. Last night, Japanese forces attacked the Philippine Islands. Last night, the Japanese attacked Wake Island. And this morning, the Japanese attacked Midway Island. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. The people of the United States have already formed their opinions and well understand the implications to the very life and safety of our nation. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and the Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense. But always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people, in their righteous might, will win through to absolute victory. I believe that I interpret the will of Congress and of the people when I assert that we will not only defend ourselves to the utmost, but will make it very certain that this form of treachery shall never again endanger us. Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God. I ask that Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire. In a salute to the armed forces members who used righteous might with the help of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to win through to absolute victory, we listen to and enjoy the Armed Forces Medley. Thank you. welcome to a place where we can worship God in freedom because of the people who protect us. And thanks to all the men and women in military service throughout the world, especially to those in Barah Ministries who have served this country with honor. There aren't many of those World War II people left who survived that Pearl Harbor attack, but we appreciate them nonetheless. And we look forward to honoring our vets next week when we go to see them at the Veterans Hospital. So let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for providing for our safety by providing people with honor, among them your Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But thank you especially for the men and women who have, in their military service, sacrificed their time, their strength, their ambition, their health, and even their lives on this earth for the benefit of those of us they know and for the benefit of those of us that they don't know. Heal the scars of our warriors. Heal the scars that our warriors carry in their hearts and on their bodies as dark memories haunt their dreams and as fears cloud their waking hours. Give them peace in you and provide them with the gospel of your Son in abundance that they might live with you for all eternity. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. The Lord's Supper celebration, the cross, offers Christianity to creatures. The cross offers Christianity to creatures. Well, let's begin the Lord's Supper celebration by giving you a chance to make an offering. It's a chance for you to help this ministry provide the Word of God to people who are positive to the Word of God all over the world. And when you give your treasure, you are imitating your Lord and Savior's sacrifice, a Savior who gave all of himself for us. We appreciate the faithfulness of your contributions, especially in this time of need. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering.
Good morning.
I'm
Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church, a place with real people, a real pastor, and real truth, the only truth. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, Pastor asked us, why are we embarrassed to be Christians? Or why does it make us embarrassed to be a Christian? And I love his questions because it always makes you reflect on self, and that's not something we do every day. And it's something that challenges us, and I'm sure it's something that's driven a lot of people away. Because they don't want to be impugned, they don't want to look bad, and they don't want to be embarrassed. And I thought back to my early childhood as a Christian, and I probably was embarrassed to say to people that I was Christian, because it was something that made you stand apart or made you look like a Bible thumper or somebody that was weird or unique or odd and in a time when you just want to fit in. And now I'm not scared to tell anybody that I'm a Christian. Nobody. I'm not worried about anybody at work, anybody in public, or anybody but like that. And you think about, like, the unbelievers are the people that we're embarrassed to tell that we're Christians because they're atheists or they want to make fun of you or they think you don't know what you're talking about or you were just brainwashed by your parents. And so even them, I'm not worried about unbelievers, I'm not worried about believers, or I'm not worried about unbelievers telling me what it is. And then I think about believers. Those are people where I start to be embarrassed about telling them I'm Christian, because I don't fit the mold, and they know the real reflection of Christ. They know that I shouldn't be saying certain things or doing certain things. Those are the people that I should be embarrassed by. And those are the people that will cut ties with you real quick if you're not the perfect reflection of a Christian. And I think about Ephesians, Pastor used at the end of that lesson, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. See, unbelievers don't know the manner which we've been called. Believers do. And you know who really does? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he, unlike believers, knows what we do on a daily basis. He knows what we think on a daily basis. The things that would embarrass us to tell Christians, to tell believers. Yet he still stands by us. He doesn't walk away from us. And he's just as happy each day to hug us and see us wake up and learn about him each week. And he's the one that we should be embarrassed to talk about. We should be embarrassed of our actions or of our thoughts or of the way we are. And yet we don't have to be. It's amazing that he's the man that we should be embarrassed of, but we don't have to be. He's the man that he's the Lord that knows everything about us, so we could be embarrassed. But we don't need to be, because we're a prisoner to him, and he knows how we should walk. And if we walk in any manner that he doesn't like, he still loves us unconditionally. He still respects us unconditionally. And I think that's amazing. And I think it's awesome that, you know, the manner that we need to walk in is coming here each week and worshiping by giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure, and not worrying about that the money's going to run out, or not worrying about that our time's going to run out, because he's in control of all of it. And I think that's amazing. And I really thank Pastor for asking us those penetrating questions and making us think like that, because if he doesn't, who's going to? We're not. We're certainly not going to do it. We don't want to bother other people. We don't want to offend other people, and we certainly don't want to offend ourselves or make ourselves feel bad. And I think it's great, because he might make us feel bad for a minute, but we know at the end of the day that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us no matter what. And so I really thank you all for your consistent giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure.
Thank you for your generosity. The Lord's Supper celebration, the cross, offers Christianity to creatures. The cross offers Christianity to creatures. When I look back to the cross, I see Christianity. What is Christianity? What is it that the Lord Jesus Christ died for on the cross other than us? He died to offer us Christianity. So what is Christianity? Well, first, maybe it's a good idea to say what Christianity is not. And it's funny that I wrote this just before I went on a tour when I was over in Aruba recently, and the guy on the tour told us that 90% of Aruba is Christian. And I knew that that wasn't true. And the reason I knew that was true is because religions are always latching on to Christianity and saying that their religion is Christianity, but it isn't. So let's talk about what Christianity is not first. Christianity is not Roman Catholicism. It is not Baptist. It is not Lutheran. It is not Presbyterian. It is not Episcopal. It is not the Assembly of God. It is not Islam. It is not Jehovah's Witnesses. It is not Mormon. It is not Methodist. It is not systematic theology. It is not Hindu. It is not Baha'i. It is not Rastafarian. It is not Jainism. It is not Sikhism. It is not Gnostic. It is not atheist. It is not agnostic. It is not New Age. It is not polytheism. It is not paganism. It is not the occult. It is not horoscopes. It is not Judaism. It is not Buddhism. It is not Shinto. It is not any of the splintered distortions sponsored by God's enemy, Satan. Satan has a strategy against the truth, and his strategy is propagated by men whom the Bible describes this way in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. It says, God the Holy Spirit explicitly says in repeated teaching throughout the Bible that in latter times, in other words, in every generation, some believers in Christ will fall away from the faith, paying attention instead to deceiving spirits and to the doctrines of demons. Demons incite false teachers to propagate lies that attempt to negate or neutralize the truth. 1 Timothy 4:2. Doctrines disseminated by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. False teachers have a false agenda. 1 Timothy 4:3. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. There are still people today who are trying to follow the Old Testament commands concerning what foods to eat. Don't eat pork. That was because in that time there was no sanitation. In the New Testament, that is not the set of commands that apply to us as church age believers or to this age of unbelievers, because it's vastly different now. But you still see people fasting. You still see people speaking in tongues. You still see people tithing. You still see people engaging in all these religious rituals and practices and saying that it's Christianity. It is not. Oh, the Sabbath day never changed. Yes, it did. It used to be Saturday and now it's every day. It did change. And what changed it? The cross. But we still have liars who in hypocrisy will stand up and teach it, and fools who will listen to it and believe it. And that has been true for a long time. The men at the head of religious movements are described as liars. They are legalists who suggest that they have a better way to do things than God suggests. And of course they don't. But often people believe them. The Lord Jesus Christ described them in this way. John chapter 8 verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer, a soul murderer from the beginning. And he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar, and he is the one who keeps on fathering lies. Let me repeat that. He is a liar, and he keeps on fathering lies. He keeps on giving birth to lies. And so, this is the thing that I detest. And I detested it when I did it, too, by the way, because I spent 21 years in Roman Catholicism. I spent 29 years in systematic theology, promoting half-truths about God. And it took me 50 years to learn who God really is. And how did I learn who God really is? I shut off all input from all sources except this single source, the Bible. And as soon as you stop listening to men, as soon as you stop listening to people and see what the Lord has to say in the Word of God, all of a sudden it all comes clear to you, and it all begins with your knowledge of Him as a person and His work at the cross that He did for you. And when you get clear on that, which is why He has us do the Lord's Supper celebration every month, when you get clear on that, when you get reminded of that over and over and over and over again, you start to see that all these things that people are saying about God are lies and that they don't know Him really. And when you know Him and then you listen to somebody talk about Him, you'll know whether they're talking about Him or not. Well, let's stop and take a moment to enjoy the Lord's Supper elements, and then we'll continue the message of this Lord's Supper celebration. So, following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and His cross on a regular basis. Did we pass out the wafers? I need a few. Brother's hungry up here. Amen? Can I stand up here and gnaw on my hand if you want me to? But that's a bad idea because I don't know that I washed my hands this morning. Amen? Can I get an amen, people? Thank you very much. That's all right. All right, so following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and His cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who He is as a person. We drink to remember His work. which was a voluntary sacrifice that he made on the cross on our behalf as our substitute, our sin substitute. And we're grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. So when we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ as a person. When we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially his work at the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after the Passover supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, this cup is a new testament forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration. And as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup as part of the Lord's Supper celebration, you proclaim as a reality and you announce the significance of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead until he comes again in the second coming. So as you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. Now and always, let us keep on giving thanks that we are loved unconditionally and accepted fully by the Lord who is always there, the one on whom we can depend. And let's enjoy his unconditional love day by day. And that's the name of our Lord's Supper song.
Thank you.
Let's take a music break with Don Moen's song, I Just Want to Be Where You Are.
I just wanna be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't wanna worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just wanna be where you are,
in your dwelling place,
in your dwelling place. Take me to the place where you are, 'cause I just want to be with you. I wanna be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. In your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with you. I just want to be where you are,
dwelling daily in your presence,
dwelling daily. I don't want to worship from afar.
Draw me near.
Draw me near to where you are. Oh my God, you are my strength and my song. And when I'm in your presence, though I'm weak, you're always strong. I just want to be
dwelling place forever.
In your dwelling place forever.
Take me to the place.
Take me to the place where you are. 'Cause I just want to be. I just want to be.
That's our prayer. We want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. Oh, that's our prayer, God.
We want to be where you are.
Yes, we do.
Dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table,
surrounded by your glory,
surrounded by your glory. In your presence,
Lord,
that's where we always want to be. I just 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 want to be with you.
Oh God, that's our prayer. We want to be where you are.
I just want to be with you.
I love that song. The Lord's Supper celebration, the cross offers Christianity to creatures. Welcome back. Christianity is pure. It is not a mixture of things. It is not a splinter from a block of wood. It is the block of wood. It is not partial. It is not subject to interpretation. It is not changeable. It is not subject to the whim of those who want to modify it to suit their own pleasures or to tickle their own ears. What is Christianity? It is a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the most important relationship of your life. The decision to become a Christian is the best decision of your life. It is the decision that we are all here to make as creatures. I have made this choice. I have decided about Christ. I am His. I have put my faith in Him. I trust Him for everything, including my salvation. I love Him. I follow Him. He is everything to me. I have dedicated my life to get to know Him. No inadequacy of mine diminishes Him or this relationship in any way. This relationship is permanent, it is dependable, and it is secure. The cross, the event that we look back to as we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, is the event that makes Christianity possible for every creature. Of course, God has an enemy, Satan, who is the sponsor of all things that are not Christian. The things he sponsors are all designed to add the imperfect to that which is perfect, to add distortion to Christianity. You know, as I was saying these things to you, I was just thinking back to that quick conversation I had with the barista at Starbucks in Miami Beach. And I think the reason that that comment from him struck me so hard and elicited an emotional reaction of appreciation in me is because we just don't hear that much. And as I'm telling you right now who I am as a person, who I am as a Christian, does that stir you a little bit? Because, I mean, we don't hear this. We don't see this in movies. You look at a movie and you think, okay, this is a Christian movie. And what it ends up being is a legalistic movie, a religious movie. It doesn't end up being a Christian movie at all. And so seldom do you hear anybody just saying the truth of how it is. Who is Jesus Christ? He's my Savior. I love Him. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my foundation. We say those things. I say those things to people. I was talking to some guys on the golf course yesterday about Paul and who he is. And as I was talking to them, you could just hear the silence. Like, I don't know whether I want to engage in this conversation or not. This is religion. You don't talk about religion or politics. Because the potential exists for conflict. And it's sad. And one of the reasons I like coming to this pulpit every week, this 36 inches of space, which is my home, the reason I like coming here is because I can say exactly what I want to say about my God and Savior. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. You just got to listen. And it's going to go on the internet, and I'm going to tell the whole world about it. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. And you know, it's funny. Nobody ever comments about anything that I say. You know, you guys, once in a while, will give me feedback. Wow, that was really good, Pastor. But for the most part, people who are in the non-resident congregation, they don't say jack to me. You know, they don't. There are a few that do, but most don't. And, you know, maybe that's a blessing, too. Maybe that's a blessing, too. Your lessons are horrible, Pastor. And maybe God just screens me from that so I don't get depressed, but... But it's just nice to be someplace where you can just say how it is for you at the very core. This is who I am. At the very core, I am His. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do to change my mind. The flesh can't change my mind. The world can't change my mind. I am unaffected by them. Well, what did Christ do for us at His cross? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 say, "Now the Lord is God, the Holy Spirit, and where the Holy Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." He gave us freedom at that cross through God, the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we believers in Christ all with an unveiled face," not like the Jewish, the unbelieving Jews who stand behind a veil. We believers in Christ all, because of the cross, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, keep on being transformed into the same image from one stage of glory to another stage of glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. I'll bet that's exactly what you woke up saying to yourself this morning. You woke up and saying, another day where the Lord is transforming me. No, you know what I said? You know what I said when I got up? I got to get packed. I didn't think about the fact that the Lord is transforming me. I didn't. I just scratched my head, looked at my snotty eyes in the mirror and said, God, I can't wait to get in the shower and get those eye boogers out of my eyeballs. But I didn't think for one second that I had keep on being transformed by my magnificent God. I didn't think about that. And so that's why that the Lord gives us the Lord's Supper. Amen? The Lord's Supper is that time when we stop to reflect on our God. Isn't it great that we can laugh? Isn't it great that we have a God who has a sense of humor and we can laugh and enjoy what he's done. And we can laugh at each other, that's right, and we can laugh at ourselves. Christianity is a relationship with Christ. The venture into Christianity is a journey sponsored and directed by God the Holy Spirit, the one who teaches Christianity to Christians. The New Testament is the Spirit's textbook, and he uses it to explain Christianity to Christians. And every week, that's what I do for a living. Well, it's not for a living, but it's what I do. I ain't getting paid, people. Can y'all send some more money, amen? It's not what I do for a living, but it's what I do. I had a lady tell me last night at a party I went to. She said, you know what? I'm so proud of you. And I said, why is that? She said, because you're a pastor. And because you bring the magnificence of being a pastor to your career, to the rest of the world. I just admire that so much. And I said, well, yeah, I know what you mean. I said that to myself. As I was patting myself on the back. But what I said to her was, boy, I really appreciate it that you said that. And I do appreciate it. Because you know what? That's what I do. I bring the power of truth to my other career. And I don't do it enough as far as I'm concerned. I think I need to be a little more bold in that regard. But we got God the Holy Spirit using the Bible as our textbook, explaining Christianity to us. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, but when he, God the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He is our global positioning satellite. He's our GPS. He is giving us the commands and the turns and twists that we need to make to get to the state of being conformed to the image of our Lord. And there is a need for us as Christians to be reminded by God constantly of exactly what Christianity is, a relationship with Christ. And in every Bible lesson, especially the Lord's Supper, it's the perfect opportunity to do it. What is Christianity? It is a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope those of you who are listening to this lesson today will go over and listen to June's song for the week on Facebook, because it points out exactly how deep, intimate, and personal this relationship is. Your word takes me. Christianity is the most important relationship of your life. It's the best thing that you could ever involve yourself in. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the reminder of one of the many things you did for us at the cross. You offered us Christianity. You gave your creatures the opportunity to be engaged in Christianity. And we close this lesson today by remembering what you did And what you did is you gave us the opportunity to make the most important decision of our lives. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, I, Paul, am not ashamed of the gospel message. For the gospel message is the power of God the Father, divine omnipotence, to provide salvation to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Gentiles. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 is a haunting verse, 13 and 14, haunting verses. Enter salvation through the narrow gate, and the narrow gate is a metaphor for the Lord Jesus Christ. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it, with those who with a casual relationship toward getting to know Christ as Savior. Matthew 7:14, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to the resurrection life, and there are few who find it. John 10:9, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the door to salvation, and if anyone enters through believing in me, he will be saved, and then he will go in and out and find pasture. Going in and out is freedom. 1 Corinthians 15:22, all in union with Adam are set to die the second death in the lake of fire. That's all of us at physical birth. But all those in union with Christ will live the resurrection life, eternal life. Closing song, June Murphy is singing Friends in High Places.
I've got hope when things look bad, and I can smile when I should be sad. I've got friends who lift me up when I'm feeling low, and they watch over me wherever I may go. I've got friends in high places, so high but not so far away. I've got friends in high places, gonna be with them someday. There's a father right by his son, and the angels, each and every one, and other friends I miss so much and I long to see, but knowing I'll be with them one day comforts me. I've got friends in high places, so high but not so far away. Why should I run? Why should I hide? What's there to fear when my friends are on my side? I've got friends in high places, so high but not so far away. So far away, I've got friends high places, and I'm gonna be with them. Yes, I'm gonna be with them someday.
Turn that on. I said, that's one of my favorite songs, and I asked June to sing that. And so you got many goosebumps. You gave me many goosebumps with that. So you're going to work on that a little bit and June-ize it and then give me major goosebumps the next time she sang. So that was really good. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we're just so happy to celebrate the Lord's Supper and so happy that you gave us Christianity, which is a relationship with you. And we're so happy that we're in union with you, and we're so happy that we're one of your saints, and we're so happy that we're no longer sinners, and we're so happy that we're justified and redeemed, and that one day we'll be resurrected from the dead, and that we're going to live with you forever. And just so thank you for all the magnificent things that you did for us at the cross, and thank you for who you are, and who you mean, what you mean to us, and what you are in our lives, and thank you for making us something. Us nothings into something, which is why we call this ministry Bara Ministries, because we are nothings that you're making into something. And we just pray that you keep elevating at every moment in our lives to our thoughts, you, your person, your work, so that we can follow you and be a perfect reflection of your will. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening.